We're in the home of Mrs. Avery Humble in Monticello, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mrs. Humble, your childhood was spent in what community in this county?
Well, it was spent about 10 miles from here into what is known the Gregory settlement. And they have a school there, you know, a high school. That community has the First Baptist Church built this side of the Cumberland River. It's the whole community.
And it's still in existence?
Oh, yes. The church has been remodeled, but it still has the doors in the back where the slaves come in. You know, people used to have slaves.
Yeah. And they came to church the same?
They come to church, but they'd sit in the back, and that's the reason that they went in that way.
Interesting. Were you a member of that church?
No. That was Baptist Church, and I belonged to First Christian Church in Monticello. My people was all around Monticello and up in Fraser, you know, close to the lake where you go across the river at Bronston. You remember coming through Bronston? Well, that's where my mother was raised.
I see.
And my daddy was raised about a miles of here, right back out here, in a big old mansion.
And did y'all have a Christian church in the community in Gregory,
yes,
too?
Yes, my great grandfather and, well, I had two of them, General Buster and William Kendrick was two of the head starters of the Christian Church. They're the charter members.
Is that right? That's my boss. That used to be my boss, General Buster. He has his relatives. He lives here, don't he?
Yes, I'm his great-granddaughter.
Oh, that's very interesting. He'd like to hear this tape. What we're primarily interested in is to get at the health care in the community in that time.
Uh-huh.
Before, give us a little background about yourself. Just to give a general setting, when did you leave the community?
Well, I was married the 22nd day of December 1922, and I left. My husband was a school teacher, and he thought he couldn't make a living on that kind of money. You know, I think he paid $65 a month, so he made. And then you got to pay your board, and he lived in another county, in Russell County. He kept his horse and buggy, and he had to pay board on the horse, and it made it a little hard. So he had a sister that lived in Louisville, and we went to Louisville, and he got a job working in the old Louisville woolen mill. During the Depression, why it went broke like a lot of others did.
That's really interesting. That would be an interesting story in itself. But I'd like for you to focus back then on that period of your childhood and early teenagehood in that community. Huh. And I'm particularly interested in the availability of doctors in that time.
Well, you see, we lived 10 miles from Monticello, and the doctors had to go horseback. And they was a creek where we lived above the creek. If that creek got up, there was no bridge. And they'd have to wait till the water run down to get up over to our house. And my mother said we used to have malaria fever. The boys, she thought, they'd swim in the creek too much. Mosquitoes would bite them, you know. She thought that might have given them malaria fever. It's a bad fever. And I can see that doctor, he has a coming Dr. Woodrow is the one I remember most, and he was from Louisville. He's from Jefferson County. And I know he had little pockets with letters, saddle pockets, they called them, and he had places you've seen where they put their medicine. He had two of them, he brought, put them on his horse, and he'd come. It'd take him about 2 hours or three to ride out there.
He had a practice here in Monticello.
In Monticello.
Uh-huh.
And then we had Dr. Jones at the same time, and Dr. Ab Cook. There's four cooks that was doctors, but he was one I remember. And let's see, we had Dr. Gamlin. And did we have Dr. Young, Dr. Woodrow was our doctor. He was the head doctor. People thought, you know, everybody has their favorite doctors, and we thought he was the best.
Did he deliver the babies, or?
Yes. There's midwives all back up there. And my mother used to keep the old saddle mare in the barn, so if somebody, she never did, she wasn't a midwife, but she'd go and help, you know, and be there. And she'd always make the baby's clothes.
Oh, that's great.
And
was that a general practice, that women would go out and help?
They'd go and help the midwife. And then my mother'd go back. It didn't matter how poor they was or anything. We was poor, but these people still poor than you are. And she'd go and give them baths and take care of the little baby till they'd get big enough till she'd get well enough to get up and take care of them herself.
Was it that same kind of community support when someone was ill, or say like with the...
Yes, when they had typhoid fever, they used to have this one family. Now, I was just a little girl. I wasn't born when the family man worked with my dad. He took typhoid fever and had 8 children. And his wife didn't have a thing in the world. They had a little old cabin and a house built on for a kitchen, you know, just kind of like a shed. And my daddy and mother raised every one of them children, and all of us too. He taught the boys how to work, you know, and they had work. They was good workers, but he had them so much. And their mother worked for my mother, and she took the little girls and taught them to cook and sew. And she was, she went to Burnside to a college. They called it the Denny College. And she graduated there, and she was really smart, and she had a heart that she wanted to help the little children.
That's tremendous. Is she active in the church, the Christian church?
Yes. Uh-huh. And before her and my dad was married, the Christians come from my daddy's family. She was a Sloan. And it was Methodist. My grandpa built this church, Methodist church up here, what they call Tuttle's Chapel. He built that. He was a good carpenter. And that was their church. And that's where they all buried up there on the 92. You should go towards Burnside from here. Or towards Somerset. You don't go through Burnside. We used to have to go through Burnside.
Flooded that area mainly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right. What was your father? What did he do?
Well, he was a farmer and trader. And Now, he graduated from school and didn't graduate back then, you know.
Well, that's unusual.
He didn't graduate, but he had what they called a college education. And she did, too. And they give them certificates if they want to go into a college like somewhere in Ohio or Illinois at Chicago. They could go there. They was accredited there. But they never did. They got married and raised a big house full of children. Depression come. They had it awful hard.
They did a lot of good work, though.
Yeah, they did.
Could you kind of think back about that around the childbirth of some poor family? You say there would be usually, if they couldn't afford a doctor, a doctor couldn't be there, there would probably be a midwife in the community.
Yes.
And then people like your mother
would go and help. Mm-hmm.
And after the child was delivered, they'd help with the child.
Yes.
How would they help us?
Well, they'd give the baby baths and see that it had was clothes had to be changed, you know. And
take some of the load off the mother.
Well, the mother'd be in bed sick. Right. She couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Now, just about 2 months ago, she had retired about 8 years ago, and she was a midwife, and some way or another she went to school and got her certificate that the doctors approved of her born in these children. She had some pretty difficult births, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to Dr. Robertson he said that there was a doctor here that had a school for midwives and they got certification.
What she had.
That's great. They've got a picture of them down there. Yes. I wanted to get
Now she was Nanny Ethel Pale, and she died. She had heart trouble. She died about 2 months ago. I don't know if it's been that long or not. But she hadn't been able to do anything for about 5 years. Her heart was bad, and Dr. Duncan was her doctor.
Do you ever remember actually as a child or a young woman going to a birth?
No, I never did go to one.
It was your mother that saw it?
Well, I did too after I was married my sister-in-law, and she had a midwife because the creeks was up and the snow was all about up above your ankles. You used to wear galoshes, and I know I put on galoshes and that snow was up over there. And she burned her little boy, and I put the first clothes on him he ever wore. But now if it's all right, they're done all right. But my mother always believed in doctors. She thought everybody. But now those women back out there, not everyone's been born but midwives.
Do you remember the great fruit flu epidemic in the?
Oh yes, I had a sister. Well, she's the oldest, and she had TB, but they thought that they had that, you know, controlled. And the doctors thought that she's going to get well. You know, they couldn't cure it, but they got to where they could control it or not. And she took that flu, we all did, and she didn't live no time. And they couldn't any of us go to her funeral. We was all bedfast with it. It was terrible. My brother, just older than I am, had double pneumonia with it. And we liked to lost him, and I know my mother sat all the day with him, and I'd sit up all night. And we'd been sick with that flu, but we managed to make it, and he was the sickest person I ever seen all my life. And the perspiration come from him just looked like red blood or something. The sheets, you know, have white sheets. They'd be just as red, and you could not wash that out. All that flu was a dreadful thing. And then they had an old race that went after that. I don't know if you ever heard anybody say anything about it. It just eats you to death. And doctors, all the doctors tried everything. And that brother was there. He went up and we had no herb doctor. Dr. Jerry, everybody called him doctor. And Dr. Jerry Denny, he said, Frank, if you let me, well, I'll cure that AIDS for you. And he made up some Frankenstein to what he put in. But he made an ointment, you know. And he said he got relief in a couple of hours after he put that on there. And he got to telling everybody about it. And they'd give him a dollar, and he'd fix them a box of save. And he really did cure it. And my mother said he stopped my mom. That sister-in-law was telling you about it. Had two little boys. This one was three, and that was 8 weeks old when she died. And we had to raise those two children. We didn't have to, but we did. And she said, Dr. Jerry come, and the creeks was up, and he couldn't get no further. And she'd known him all her life. So he said, well, Miss Kendrick, I think I'll just stay all night. And I'll go back, and the creeks will be down, and I can get by in the morning. And she said that Stanley had tonsillitis so bad he couldn't speak, nothing. She said, well, if you'll take my doctor, I'll fix something. And she said that he had his tonsils down in the morning. And she didn't know what he fixed, but he had a remedy of some kind that he used. It had some kind of horehound in it. And there's something else that they used for swelling. I can't think what it was. Anyway, she said she didn't know what to put in, but she didn't care. Cured Stanley, and he was so sick.
So he cured him without actually taking the tonsils out?
Yeah,
they just
no,
went down.
It just went down.
That's interesting.
Well, I know I had sore throat one time. Them creeks was at all. Aggravate you when you get sick.
Inevitably, they'd be up when you were sick.
And that boy in there, his uncle, come by our house, and I was so sick I couldn't talk. My throat was swelled together. And he says, my name's Effie, but all everybody around called me Effie. He said, now, Elf, if you let me, I'll fix a boulder, it'll cure you. I said, I'll let you fix the boulder. Yes, I'll be glad to get it. And he put some onions, peeled them, put them on the stove, and fried them in grease. And he put a tiny bit of sulfur in it. And he come and put that around my throat, and I never had nothing to feel so good in all my life. And it, about 3 hours, I was beginning to breathe. I couldn't breathe. But the onion, I don't know what, I've heard people say they'd used it too.
That smell and everything.
I don't know that onion went down. Well, you know, they put the onions and got it both in high blood pressure medicine. They do that now.
Were there many of these herb doctors in the community?
None. He's the only one I know of. But there's one come through there. I was in Louisville, and my mother said that there's something that he cured for somebody that was so bad. Well, anyway, this little boy, Stanley, had sore throat. We get those, we call them boogers, those big hard things that get in his nose and stop him from breathing. And back there and around in the mountains, you've heard of mullein, haven't you? It looks kind of like a tobacco leaf.
I haven't heard of it.
Well, he told him to get some of that mullein and dry it, lay it in the stove and dry it and smoke it. just like a, in a pipe or a cigarette, and it cured his it's all like sinus, you know, and his nose, them old big, he called them boogers when he was little. And it's just big old hard things would form. My mother used to make some liniment. She'd take camphor and whiskey. Daddy didn't like her to have whiskey. He didn't want in the house. His father drank a lot, and he thought that he spent a lot of money that the family could use. And he just didn't see no point in having whiskey. But she'd always keep her a camphor bottle, and she'd put hartshorn. Did you ever hear a hartshorn? It's kind of like rock candy or something. And she'd put rock candy in that and hartshorn in that camphor. And it was awful good to ease pains and things with.
Have you ever heard of mixing egg yolk with salt?
Mm-hmm.
She used to do that too,
yes.
Make a poultice like
yes.
That?
Yes, yeah.
Can you think of some of the other things?
Let's see, she made a poultice. I know. She'd put a little mustard in the eggs, you know, dry mustard, and eggs, and I believe it was a little vinegar that she put in it, and water, mixed it up, and she'd put it on a flannel cloth, laid on our chest for a bad cold, and it was good, too. We had a cousin that believed in making, when the children have croup, he'd make them a poultice out of onions and sulfur and lard. People used the old pure old hogs lard, and they didn't know nothing about Crisco and all that stuff.
Well, it seems like the mother was really kind of a nurse, wasn't she?
Yes,
she
is awful good.
Was that generally speaking? Your mother certainly seemed to be. Well, most women tend to be nurturing like that? Too.
No, there wasn't anybody else out there that I know of. Only the midwives would go. There's about three midwives close to us, and they're awful good about going.
Did the midwives charge anything?
They didn't used to, but everybody give them a dollar. And I think this woman, the last one I said about, got $5 for the lift. And she'd go for miles. She had a big old saddle mare. She rode aside. Back then, the women all rode aside. First time I ever rode a horse, rode aside. Everybody had pretty little saddles that they were holding.
Well, this is really interesting. Anything, any other remedy you could think of or that your mother used or anyone else in the community?
Oh, they used to get blackfruit, go in the woods and dig blackfruit and put it in water and sometimes put a little whiskey in it, you know, to preserve it. And they'd give us that for colds, and they'd take, Frank said, Slipperellum, you know, and take it and put it in. They'd give that for diarrhea, and it was really good. And I said, don't, back that time, they used to have flux a bit. And they said that if you couldn't cure it with that Slipperellum water, they know that you'd have to have the doctor. So many people died from flux.
What were some of the other things that were real serious besides typhoid fever and flux?
Well, they had Mary Larry. I told him about my brothers, and that's one of the worst things you can have. You just can't hardly ever get over it. And they'd had pneumonia then, and it would really be awful bad.
Even a doctor couldn't do much for you, could?
No. I remember we didn't have no hot water bottles, and my mother would heat plates and wrap it in some kind of a little salt, maybe a baby's out in diaper, and lay it on the chest, and let it help loosen up that phlegm. Did Dr. Arpins tell you about if a child had asthma or anything like that? Cut one of those sourwood limbs, and as high as the baby or the little boy was, and let it stay under his bed or under the mattress till he outgrowed that limb, and then he'd be well. He used that not long ago on one of my little nephews. And I said, oh, I hadn't heard of that phrase, but he said he couldn't do no other way, and he'd just go back to his mother's old remedy.
Is that right? Dr. Roberts said that, did that?
Mike Roberts.
Is that right? No, he wouldn't. He didn't tell me that. I'll have to get on him about that.
Don't tell on me.
No, I won't tell it on
him. He's on Dr. Ryan. You're going out at night.
Yeah, he's
now
a good man.
He was my husband. Was it was kind of like a cardiac, but it was just clotted blood, you know. He couldn't get to the heart, and he had to have shots, and a lot of times he had to have them at night. And I'd call Dr. Robertson, he'd come on 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock anytime.
Yeah, he's a modest man. He didn't say much about what he'd done, but I gathered that he was. He was a little bit resonant about speaking to you. He wasn't as free with me as you are. And
well,
I wish he had been a little freer.
I'll tell you about him. He's a distant man. Anyway, he just don't talk to him like he knows you now. He knows me all my life, of course. And he used to teach school just like my husband. That's where I met him.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband, he come in our community and was teaching school. And they got to talking about their school days and having 65 and 75 in one room. But they done fine with them schools, and I don't see how they did it. Everybody learned. They could all read and spell. Now, you know, that's a lot more than some of them can do now.
Apparently they had better discipline and more attentive, even though they had. I don't know how they manage that many people either. Nowadays, it's hard to handle 2 or 3.
Yes, it sure is.
We had a picnic in our community, and I was in charge of the games. And
yeah.
My goodness, the little kids, I almost lose my patience. You couldn't get them to line up, to count them off with the teams. They just, and you set one over
and
here, and you throw
one away. They start them out in these schools when they're not 2 and 3, and they'll go to church, and they'll run all over the school. And they've got a nursery in nearly all the churches, somewhere or another. They'll manage to get up, and about the time everybody goes out, well, they run in front of you, afraid you're going to hit one of them, run over. Oh.
Was that kind of a general thing that men sometimes would start off teaching like Dr. Roberts did and then later go into?
Make the doctor.
Or a lawyer or something.
My husband was a carpenter. And where are you from?
I'm from Georgia originally. I live in Lexington now.
You don't know nothing about Louisville factories.
No.
He was a maintenance man in American Standard. They built, I guess you've got bathrooms down there with that's made from the commodes and lavatories and things, but, and he took care, there's nine of them, took care of the woodwork and all that.
Oh, that's quite a position. Let me turn this tape. It's run to the end. In this factory that made the bathroom?
Mm-hmm. He worked for the American Radiator. American Standard, what it was.
And he saw and, made the forms that they used? Yeah,
and the building parts, you know, if window faces would drop and rot out, and they'd put them in, put in new flooring, make boxes for them to ship out all the stuff in. There's nine regular carpenters, and oh, they did a lot of work.
What was the, in these communities, as you remember in your child, what was the role of the ministers in the church as well? Were they involved in health care in any way, to, at least in counseling?
Some of them was. Some of them would go and help out with them when they were sick, set up at night. And they didn't have no nurses. And maybe there'd be two go one night. Two go on the daytime, then they'd change it so they'd get some rest. People used to be sick for weeks at a time with, and I know we had a big old homemade rocking chair, and men used to be awful strong and big, you know. And my mother would send that rocking, she'd put a big padded, send it to those people that was sick that could set up a little bit that didn't have no good chair, and she'd fix them a good chair, send it to them. And some of them would be awful, awful sick for months. They just didn't seem to get well over what. They'd get well over maybe pneumonia, and then something else would develop.
That would be horrible if it was a time of the year where a lot of work had to be done.
Yes, well, they used to go help people fix their, they do their plow, plant their corn, put out their tobacco. People then wasn't like they are now. I know my brother was building him another room on his house, and all the church he belongs, this church is standing about, had the back door slug, right. And they all come up to him, they put up that room in a day, and the women come and help cook their lunch, and they all had a good time and fixed to build him a room. Great. I think it's about 16 feet long and 12 or 14 feet wide, and they covered it too. And they'd do that if one had something to do. They'd call it a house raising. They'd get to the community and let them know where it'd be, and the preacher would announce it on Sunday. They'd go and help out. But we don't have any more of that. We got a hospital, which I think's the most wonderful thing. We've got a good hospital here. My husband was there a lot.
Y'all had moved back here before he died.
Yes, I was raised here, and they got to, we had an awful nice home. Well, in fact, we had two, we had one rented and the other. But there got to be a lot of colored people moving in, and they didn't bother us, because we was the kind of people that I was growed up with. My grandfathers had slaves. And but they didn't want them in the schools, you know, and it's tearing up things. Louisville got awful bad, and we just got disgusted with it, and we thought we'd come back down here. And when they had that trouble started here, well, Harry Bell was the superintendent, and he told him, he said, those colored people that went to school out there all their lives with the white people, and the bus is going to run out there, and said, if you all feel like you want to pay taxes and put up a school for the colored people, why,
that's
we'll do that. And if you don't, they'll ride. And says, I know that they will take care of, they won't run over nobody. And they never had a bit of trouble in the world with them. They all go to school together now. And they play ball together. And but now, I don't know why it was Louisville when Carmichael was professor at the University of Louisville. Well, they got along fine with them then, but they just got in all the grade schools and everything. And it seemed like everyone that had children and black children, they just didn't want to get along. And we thought we'd just move away, and I won't come back home anyway. So this place used to bring along all these down into my old Columbia Road belonged to my great grandfather, General Buster. And I said, I won't go back and live on my great granddad. And my other great grandfather lived about 3 miles. So, no, it's just 2 miles through that mountain, and it gets into a level farm like the land is down here. That's where my daddy was raised.
Now, it was your built this house?
He had it built, yeah. It was like them woods over there when we bought it. You can see all that woods. And he had it cleared up. We built the house. Started in 75, and we got a boy, and he had several boys, and we wanted to move, and he finished it in about 2 months and a half. We bought it in October and moved in 15th of January.
Even though you moved away, you seem to have kept a close contact with the community.
Well, my mother and father lived here for a long time, And since being back, you see, you get closer.
Reconnect.
Yes, being with kinfolk and neighbors. But people don't get out and go and see their neighbors like they used to.
All isolated, aren't we?
Yes.
Even though we're closer together. There's a car starting out there.
Oh, it's just you leave at night gate.
And that's the real paradox of the situation. We're really right close, but we stay in our little houses and never visit very much.
Yes, that's right.
And was there a lot of visiting in the period when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. I was telling some of them last night that my aunts used to come. All of them but one would stay all day and all night. The other one always have to go back home to her husband and children. She just couldn't stay all night. She'd stay maybe sometimes 10 o'clock at night, and then her boy would always take her home.
I guess that probably gave her a lot of security to know that somebody would see you if you got sick.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. And then they'd go to the neighbors and tell them, you know, who was sick and what they thought they had. Before they had doctors like Dr. Woodrow and Dr. Cook and all them, they just had to depend on their old remedies, and I never did know nothing about them because we always had medical doctors.
Do you know of anybody that'd be living now in the county that might remember some of the old remedies that?
I don't think of anybody nearly all. There's one man died last week in the city. He was 103, and his that boy left out is his uncle.
Is that right?
And we don't have too many old people. Seem like they've died out, and a lot of the younger ones has died since we moved back here. Cancer gets so many of them.
Seems like there's different type of disease now.
Yes, uh-huh.
Heart trouble.
Yes.
Nervous breakdowns. Did y'all have much of that, or do you think it happened and just didn't know what it was, or did you think you had as much of them?
You mean when I was a girl?
When you were a child.
Yes, they had heart troubles then, and they used to... people, you've seen them look like they just got fat. And now they call it fluid. Doctors did. And the old-timey people, they said that, of course, I don't remember none of that, but I remember when they had what they call dropsy that swelled from that fluid, and it was their heart. And somebody that had experience would take a sharp knife and puncture them and turn them on something, chairs, I think, and drain that out. And then they'd live for maybe 4 or 5 months, and they'd have to do it again just to open up that place. I don't know how they kept it from getting infected, because whiskey's about the only thing they used then to pour on wounds, you know. You get a snake bite, they had to take care of lots of snake bites, and they'd pour kerosene on that. And they'd use whiskey when they had to cut a hole or anything in anybody. And sometimes they'd burn that after they put the whiskey on. You know, it'll burn. They'll burn that around there. It's kind of... And they had doctors, but they couldn't travel very well. There was no roads.
All the creeks,
and they had a creek. Now this one here we call the Town Creek. Down the hood, you went down all of that way up that way, any or not, right out of town. It's that creek gets up yet and gets in people's houses, and they had to get carried out, moved out. Come a certain time, they don't wake up. Why? They have to get somebody to carry them out. It's so deep they can't walk. And it's got a bridge over it, but all around it, it settles in that you can't get to the bridge. How long have you been in here?
Quite a while. You mean been in this area?
County. Yeah,
I
doing
just
this kind
couple
of
days.
Just a couple of days.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just getting and seem like to know people, and I'm going to have to move on. That's the reason people need to do it themselves.
Now that girl that called me, she's my cousin.
She is?
She's a Kendrick too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she married the Rankin boy.
She was real nice to do that for me. I'm staying down there in that motel.
Well, now that boy's my cousin too.
He is?
His motel, Chesney. Boy. My grandmother was Chesney.
They sure cook the best food.
Yes,
it's
they
a
have.
Good motel
you.
Too. Very clean, nice.
Clean and they're good people.
That breakfast this morning was delicious. Real country breakfast with gray, white gravy and everything. I bet I put on a pound since I've been down here.
Well, you don't find as good cooks as they are everywhere.
No. Good country cooking. That used to be, I'm sure, a delight to eat, didn't it?
Yes. Oh, they used to really put a...
Did y'all?
To have big picnics. They used to have picnics and they didn't have tables, they just take sheets or tablecloths. People used to make tablecloths, weave them. And they'd take sheets and tablecloths, spread them on the ground. Everybody cook, and then I know my daddy used to, if it was summertime, he'd kill a lamb, and they'd roast the leg of lamb, them two legs of lamb, and then they'd have ham. And the chicken, everything you could think of almost, and somebody else would have a big lot like that too, and then the officers feast everyone.
Would this be done around the church, a school, or in a family?
In schools, and sometimes they'd have a family reunion. Now they're going to have one here, the 14th of August, for the Kendrick family. Bruce Phillips and his wife, he's the attorney. His son's the attorney. He's a county attorney.
That seems to be returning. Those family reunions seem to be returning.
Yeah.
We have one in my hometown, the Derisos, my mother's side.
Well, this is our, they call him Uncle Billy Kendrick. He was our great-grandfather. Bruce's mother and my daddy was first cousins, the ones to have the reunion.
Did y'all raise pretty good gardens back in your childhood?
Oh, yes, the best. We grew everything. And I was thinking the other day that my mother had thyme, you know, and dill seed and sage. And that is really good sage, too. You could put it in sausage, and it's so good they don't get the good sausage. Well, they were, they raised the seed now that there's one or two around here that has old country sage in their sausage.
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Makes a difference, yes.
I wonder if they had medicinal plants in the garden, too, that maybe they would mix up to with things.
Well, I don't know. They had so many plants. I know my mother had a big row of rhubarb.
Oh.
You know, they used that for medicine.
Sure,
well, we had some around these rocks, there, but they burned up, and they come. We had it pretty warm. They come up early in the spring, and then come a hard freeze, and that froze it down. And she said that Daddy picked up some boys that was going walking to town. And they wanted to work, and he told them they could work in the garden, and they dug up every bit of her rhubarb. They thought it was dark. And she, she was mad she liked that. Said she'd worked so hard to get that rhubarb, you know, to like it. But, that was terrible.
What kind of chores did you do, as you remember, as a young girl in the home? Young child.
Oh, I'd help milk sometimes. Most of the time I just cooked. But my sister, she loved to get out and play with the little calves and milk cows. But I never was much a farm. And then after Avery and I was married, when he worked American Standard, we had a 100-acre farm. And my mother was sick, and she was with me, and I couldn't do nothing else. So I got me 50 blackhead cattle. Cows had 50 cows and a big bull. And I raised calves and sheep and hogs and chickens, turkeys. I had a good raising chickens, though. The foxes would get them, and we had them in them little thin wire pens, and the snakes would crawl up in there. I just quit raising chickens. I had, of course, he didn't have time to do nothing, only had, he drove 17 miles to work. I had all that to do, and on Saturdays he'd plow and they'd plant. Oh, we done pretty good at our farm.
That's good. Good that you learned to do it, even though you hadn't done it as a child.
Well, you? I know how it's done. I'd seen it
you
done.
You just got out of it by doing something else.
Yeah.
Did you do any sewing? Or?
Oh, yes. We done all of our sewing. And my mother had an awful good machine. She's the only one that had one. I remember it done that little fine tuck, you know, like you had. She had a attachment that did that and done everything that it does now, only buttonholes and zippers. We didn't know what a zipper was then. Used buttons and hooks and eyes.
Did y'all do any weaving?
No, my grandmother did though. And I had blankets at my grandmother's cabin. And pretty thick, all them coverlids, and we call them bedspreads now. And I know so many people come to get the design. My house burned up all that.
Oh.
And I said, well, I never will think too much of anything else anymore, that I had so much bad luck with losing all my things like that. I had some lovely dishes that was old. Oh, that's worth a fortune, those bedspreads.
That's pretty. Did y'all do quilting?
Yes.
So you learned to do that, I guess.
Yes, I did a lot of quilting. Oh, they do a lot of quilting here now. Yeah. The senior citizens, they'll all get together and quilt. They'll put that quilt up, and some of them bring $700-$800. And then they use that for the benefit of the elderly people that can't do things.
Think of some other things that you'd like to tell me?
No, I think I'm about to run down.
You've done an awful lot. It might help me an awful lot.
And well, I'm glad.
I thoroughly appreciate it very much, Ms. Humble. I hope that someday maybe somebody can come back in the community and talk to you some more, because you're a regular mine of all kinds of information.
Yes.
I really appreciate you letting me come in.
Well, that's all right, and I hope that you'll be successful and in other places. Are you going to stop in Pulaski County?
Yes, ma'am, and then McCreary. So I'll be going both.
It would be easier, I guess, so the Chestnut boy would know to go from here to Somerset. Then go into Pulaski County, and then from there down to McCreary County, you'd get a better road that way.
The coal trucks kind of tear it up,
didn't they? Yes. And it's a narrow road from here up to McCreary County and winding. Some of them are not scared. It's more dangerous, I reckon. You'd be on 27. I believe 27 goes right into Whitley City, and it's a good road. Then after you get down there, you can be careful where you go, but they've got roads about like Wayne County. It may not be hardly as wide, but Pulaski County's got good roads.
Yeah, they have much.